Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the cummings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival, I'm here to strengthen God's saints. And the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them.
I'm the number one selling book of all time, I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Boom.
Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge. I'd like to welcome you all to our show this evening. Today being Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. This year is going by fast. We're almost in September. I'm almost already in the ninth month. So of this Gregorian calendar, all right? That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into this topic. The title of the class is Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People? And you see that if you checking us out online, or you're checking out one of the archive shows or what have you, or I sent you a direct text that you might be able to catch the show right now. You see that I have I have bad in quotation marks, I have good in quotation marks. So the question is, why do bad things, quotation marks, happen to good people, quotation marks? And Because that might not seem to be like the spirit or the question at hand. Let me see how I want to word that. That a lot of people are just curious, but why do bad things happen to good people? And I guess in putting this class together, I had so many different angles that we can come at with this topic. I mean, there's so many ways we can go with this. And I'm trying to be concise with it. I really am. But we have no idea what good is. All right, matter of fact, let me get that scripture real quick. That one just came to mind. As I'm pulling down my Bible, and yes, you know, we do use the King James Bible. But as I've been listening to these brothers, Sakari, as I'm looking the scripture up, Deacon Sakari, I really like their flow. I really do. We've met them at the Hebrew Summits. You might catch their YouTube page, Sakari, S-C-A-I-R-I, Sakari, New York, New Jersey, Sakari, San Diego, Deacon Sakari. I really like how these brothers flow. I really like how they put things together. They do a real debate style type of teaching. When I say debate, I'm like in school, like you're in high school on a debate team, or you're in college and took the debate team. That is really structured debates, and these brothers have a lot of information. They have a lot of knowledge that they pull out. And one thing I'm curious about that I'm kind of intrigued with is that they use the King James Bible, but they also use the ESV, English Standard Version, and apparently that's what most scholars, modern-day scholars, use, is English Standard Version, as well as King James Version, and also the New Literal Translation. And as I tell you, I cover these brothers' videos. I'm impressed. I ain't gonna lie. I'm impressed. It really brings out a lot of good understanding. They use the Blue Letter Bible online a lot, if you ever check them out. So I like their style. I just give some props to some men that believe in doing some great teaching. As well, you know, that it goes without saying, ISBHBK, as far as Kizakia, Kwadazah, in Rochester, in Rochester, New York, Northern Virginia, the brother Lakharab, and the brothers there in Houston. You know, there's some really great teachers out here. So if you haven't checked out Sakari, go ahead and check them out on YouTube, whatever. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe to us also, ISBHBK, Northwood ISBHBK Houston. Don't forget to check us out because there's some great teaching going on there also as well. But the scripture I'm looking for that I want to go to right now is as far as good people. As I'm pulling up my recordings, it was a trip out on me now. We're going to Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, this is Christ speaking, and it says, even he's not speaking this part. It's talking about it's telling about something that they have with him. So in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I should have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is the Most High, that is God." So just from that conversation that Christ was having with this person, the person came up and called Christ good. And Christ said, "There's only one good." Well, he asked him, "Why are you calling me good? There's only one good. That's my Father in heaven." So, again, the reason I'm bringing this scripture out is because a lot of us have this definition, this idea in our heart about what a good person is. And as we go into the scriptures and we really get into God's word, what people call good, what the world calls good, God calls evil. And what God calls good, people of the world call evil. So a lot of times we wonder, the question can be posed or asked, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm a good person. This is a good person. Why does something bad happen to him? But if Christ right here is saying, again, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 to 17, and verse 17 more specifically, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. That is the Father, the Most High. So if Klaus is not even calling himself good, and putting the question out there, why do you call me good? And we know Christ was perfect. He came to do and was doing the will of God. Why is Christ sitting here saying that there's only one good as my Father which is in heaven? Again, there's a question that I'm posing and that I'm really trying to meditate on, that a lot of people, again, when you call this person good or that person good or call yourself good, according to what standard are you calling, is this person good? According to what definitions are you using to determine a good person? Oh, this is a good sister. Or this is a good brother. This is a good person. According to what? According to whom? If Christ himself, and, you know, the one that everybody likes to quote a lot saying, ain't nobody perfect, I'm not Jesus, nobody's perfect. If he's saying, or ask the question, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, that's my Father in heaven. Then what definition are you using? What definition are people in the world using to determine if somebody's good? And that, this is what we want to get into tonight. This is some of the things that we wanted to bring out and examine. Let's go through a couple of scriptures to really start to get a grasp or a hold of this. What does God call good? And is what God calls good, are you using the same standard as God? Are you using the same standard for good that God calls good? That now when we ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people? Again, good according to who? Good according to your standard? Good according to your mom's standard? Good according to your boss at work standard? Now, even that, is it good according to your religion? What's a good vibe? What are you good? What makes a person good in the eyes of the Father? Yeah, I posed this question many times before on many separate classes I've done. Are you a good Catholic? And if you're a good Catholic, does that mean that you're a good follower of Christ, or does that mean you're a good Catholic? Are you a good Baptist? You might be doing everything that it takes to be a Baptist, a good Baptist, but is that a follower of Christ? You might be a good Mormon. Does that make you a good follower of Christ, of God? Again, you might be good at whatever religion you might have grown up with, but does that mean that you're actually good in the eyes of the Father? And these are some things that, I challenge myself with, and I challenge people who might be listening to the show. What makes you good? What determines if you're good? Again, are you a good employee? Are you the employee of the month? All right, cool. For your job, that might make you a good employee at your job. But does that make you good in the eyes of the Father? Does that make you good in the eyes of Christ? You might be a good, you might pay all your taxes and have a 700 credit score, and you have good credit. But because the fact that you have good credit, does that make you good in the eyes of the Father? What is the Father using to determine if you're good or not? And this is one of the things that a lot of people really don't search out. They really don't investigate. They really don't go and find out what is God's definition of good. They go by what somebody told them. They go by what they might even heard in a song. Are you a good drug dealer? Going way, way, way back to the Notorious B.I.G., he had the 10 crack commandments about how to sell crack and or sell drugs. So if you follow those 10 commandments, you'll become a good drug dealer. You can become a good drug dealer, but does that make you good in the eyes of the Father? Does that make you good in the eyes of God? And again, I'm trying to give as many different examples as possible. You might be a good football player, but does that make you good in the eyes of God? Last night I was watching In the Smoke or Some Smoke, whatever, but the NBA Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steve Jackson, and they had on the show I watched last night was with Shaquille O'Neal on there. And these, you know, NBA legends, Hall of Famers, what have you. And they tell their basketball stories. They had Ron Artest or Meta World Peace or Meta Stanford Artest, I think he changed the name to or whatever. But they were telling stories about what made them good basketball players, but in general, they weren't good people. They were drug abusers. They did good as far as whatever we're going to determine is good. They were good basketball players. LeBron James, they were talking about him, a good basketball player. Michael Jordan, obviously. Kobe. When it came to basketball, they were good players. They were great, as a matter of fact. But the fact that they were good at basketball, does that mean that they're good when it comes to God? Does that mean that how they do things, their perspective, even their work ethic, what have you, their morals, are they right or are they good in the eyes of the Father? You might be a good rapper. Now, Jay-Z is a good rapper, to where he's a billionaire. But because he's a good rapper, does that mean that he's good in the eyes of God? So, again, I'm just trying to give all these different types of examples of what people are good at. And a person might say that this is a good person. Even the mafia talks about he's one of us. He's a good guy. He's one of us. He's good. Okay. So this gangster is a good gangster at being in the mob or being in the mafia, whatever the hell organization he might be in. But does that make him good in the eyes of the Father? Does that make him good in the eyes of Christ? And again, these are the things that we have to. I don't see how we can get around it. These are things we have to investigate, because a lot of people are angry, mad, upset with God. A lot of people have given up the worship of God because they say, if there's a God out there, then why did he take my grandmother? Why did he take my father? Why did he take my son? Why did he take my girlfriend? Why did he have me go through this? Why did he have me go through that? If there's a God, according to what they know about God, I've been taught about God, God wouldn't do that. God will give me my heart's desire. God will give me whatever I want. And again, if God's going to give you your heart's desire, so if you're a pedophile, you're an adult who literally has a sexual attraction to children, just because you have that sexual attraction towards children, that makes you good in the eyes of God? Then are God supposed to grant that desire? So you're an adult and you have a sexual attraction to children. So if God was to give you children to accommodate your sexual attraction to them, that might be good for you, but what about the children? So if a 6-year-old girl is having sexual relations with a 30-year-old man, that might be a good feeling for that 30-year-old man, but is that good for that child? So what about that child's good? You understand the Bible what I'm trying to bring out? Is that, again, everybody's got their own definition of what good is. But have we really used God's definition of what good is? Then now when we have this question, why do bad things happen to good people? Then now we can really, we have to really slow down and really understand, do we really understand what God calls good? And are we living according to those standards? Or is it that bad things happen to bad people? Is that really the question we might want to ask ourselves? Does God let bad things happen to bad people? This is what we need to investigate. This is something that we really need to investigate. And again, there's so many scriptures and so many beginnings or different angles that we can attack this with, or examine is a better word, that we can examine this with. Then, let me go ahead and go to the first scripture I usually go to. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 34. And as you might know, I'm trying to get back into reading the printed Bible, not just the electronic Bible. I'm really trying to work on getting back into the printed Bible. So I have a large print Bible, sometimes it still seems like it's too small. The word's too small, but give me a second to pull this up, and I got to also get all my magnifying glasses out. We're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16. Watch the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16, and it says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, and none shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. It has gathered them." So I like to always start with this scripture also, and just by every class I do, that if we have questions, then where should we be seeking for our answers? If we have a question about how God does things, because people say that God's a mystery. God moves in mysterious ways. If God moves in mysterious ways, why did he leave us the Bible? Have you ever put that together? Why did God leave us the Bible with his instructions, with his words, with his way of doing things if God moves in mysterious ways? Is the reason God moves in mysterious ways because you don't read the Bible? Is that why God is such a mystery? Because you won't do what he says do? Again, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Is God a mystery to you because you don't read? You go by dreams. You go by feelings. You go by sensations. Again, whatever standard you're using to call good, is it really God's standard of what good is? Are you reading? Are you seeking? Again, Isaiah 34, 16. Are you seeking out of the book of the Lord, and are you reading? Why is reading important? Again, I start just by every class with these scriptures here. Going to Ephesians now. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 4. As you might be able to hear my Bible flipping through, it said, "Seek out the book of the Lord and read." Now, when we go to Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 4, it reads, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Then if Christ is a mystery, then when you read, he won't be a mystery no more. But the reason Christ is a mystery or God is a mystery, we don't read. We don't look at the Lord and read to find so that this is not a mystery, so that God is not a mystery. He left the instructions. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Then now, if we're studying and we're reading these scriptures, actually reading Old Testament, New Testament, we're actually reading the Bible, we'll see that God left instructions for righteousness. That is not a mystery. You can take the guesswork out of it. That if we read, we can find out what makes a person good or what makes a person bad or what have you. But the fact that we don't read, to get God's answers, to get God's perspective. We wait for dreams and feelings and sensations. But we don't actually go and read so that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, I'm going to read that again. Okay, for those that if I was moving too fast, I'm going to read it again. That's a new one. I was moving too fast. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That you have plenty of good works, according to what God determines is good work. According to how God, what's funny is in every religion, damn near, there's a judgment day. Every Christian religion, we know that there's a judgment day that we all got to face. Well, what are you going to be judged by? What are you going to be judged by? Is not God going to be the judge if you were a good person or a bad person? Isn't God the judge? And if, that would be kind of messed up on God's part. If he's going to judge a person by good or evil, but we never get a chance to learn what good or evil is. So this whole time, you run around here doing complete evil, doing 180 degrees opposite of righteousness, doing evil, and but to you, you don't know. But you have never been taught, never really get what God's definition or perspective of good is. So you just run around doing you. You're doing what feels good to you. And so doing, come judgment day, now you ain't going to make it. Now, another reason why this is scary and why we beg people, you've got to read. You've got to read. You've got to study. When we go to yeah, same chapter. Same chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Instead of reading verses 16 and 17, we're going to jump up to verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy, well, I'm going to just start verse 1 and read down. And this is why it's important that people read. And we're going to look at some scripture about it because people don't read, you really don't know. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, the word perilous means dangerous. And the warning we're getting, or the prophecy that's being given to us from Paul to Timothy to us, is that in the last days, there are going to be some real dangerous times. Not just from pandemics, not just from diseases or natural disasters or what have you, but it's going to be perilous times. It's going to be dangerous times. It's going to be times. It's going to be dangerous. And because people don't read, you don't know if you're walking in danger or not. Right now, with the Delta variant of COVID being out now, more people who even that have been vaccinated or not vaccinated, we're seeing now that stores are putting their own mandatory mask required in stores. It's not state mandated no more. It's not national mandated. It's just particular stores, especially here in Albuquerque, because people are scared that now you might catch the COVID. And now there's all these debates I see on Facebook and on YouTube. Those are the two main social networks I go to about the vaccine being the mark of the beast. So, is that what God is calling dangerous? About is the vaccine good for you or not good for you? All the just that's the latest thing in the news thing right now is about the vaccine, about this COVID strands, what have you. But it goes deeper than that if we read the Bible. But a lot of people don't read the Bible, so they're trying to make all these preparations about making sure, again, even they are vaccinated, they're still wearing the masks. They want to make sure that because it's the news is telling you it's a Delta variant, that now you want to take extra precautions because you want to catch COVID because it might kill you. And what I was trying to refer to was seeing all the protests and all the different debates I'm seeing on YouTube and seeing on Facebook among Hebrew Israelite groups is the vaccine the mark of the beast? That if you get the vaccine, that you are not going to be allowed to the kingdom of heaven. And it's a vicious debate. It's getting vicious with a lot of Israelite groups that are supposedly reading the Bible, that are supposed to be about Christ and knowing the Israelites. That this is something that is really, really getting into people's heads. Right, true. He's not talking about confusion. And the key word, y'all probably can't hear Kyle because Kyle doesn't speak up. I'm not asking him to speak up. But Kyle just quoted scripture says, isn't that peculiar? Because Then the Bible say God's not the author of confusion. And true, God is not the author of confusion. And what did God author? The Bible. So God don't, because people don't go by the Bible, there's confusion. Because people go by the, still their own opinions, again, about what they think is good, what they think is bad, what they think is evil, what they think is righteousness, and putting their own twist to it, and that's thinking of what God says, they're not going by who the author is. So God being the author, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he wrote down. But people don't read. People don't study. So an example I was trying to bring out, people are making a big, and as Sharon Caban just walked in, they're protesting here in Albuquerque now. Right now as we speak, in uptown Albuquerque, which is out of Louisiana and basically Manal, over by the mall.
You don't know what's in these vaccines. They have MRA, other weird terms, probably scientific stuff that's going on in this debate.
So people are really getting in uproar and really making this the center of attention. But is that what God is talking about in the Bible? And if you ain't reading the Bible, you'll think that that's something important because it's on social media, because it's in the news. You might get twisted to think that that is something that we should be concerned with, that is something we really need to be worried about. But we're going to seek out the book of the Lord, and we're going to read. So I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 again. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, again, everybody says God's a mystery, but you don't read the Bible that you might make that statement, God's a mystery. God moves in mysterious ways. Now, if we just left it at that right there, perilous times shall come, if you're in danger of getting evicted, then evictions is going to be the center of your world. When I say that, meaning because we know the moratorium on landlords evicting tenants for not being able to pay the rent or whatever got lifted 2 weeks ago. So you might have got some papers that now the so-called 60% of the American population has got vaccinated. You should be able to go back to work and not pay your bills. And now if you're not going to pay your rent or pay your bills, then now you're in danger of getting evicted. And that might be the center of your world. For another person, it might be you might be in a case where they're about to cut your unemployment off. The unemployment you've been benefiting from for the past almost 2 years now is about to get cut off, and now you got to go out and find work or whatever. That might be a fear right now. And for you, that's dangerous. As the school year just started Monday, I know in San Antonio, it started Monday. Here in Albuquerque, it started Monday. Today's when 2 days ago. Then now the fear of, again, the COVID or the fear of immunizations or whatever, that might be in the center of your world. And for you, you might consider, man, it's dangerous. As we're seeing gas prices rise, that might be the center of your world. Man, gas prices are rising. But is that what God is talking about? Is that the danger God's talking about, or is that just what you got going on in your head? What you have going on in your mind? Let's read verse 2. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." The first thing God says that's going to make it dangerous is that men are going to be lovers of their own selves. He didn't say nothing about a vaccine. He didn't say nothing about your bills. He didn't say nothing about if you got a girl or not, if you got a man or not, if you're dating or not. He didn't say nothing about STDs. He didn't say nothing about earthquakes. He didn't say anything about tsunamis or tornadoes or firestorms or the super volcano going off. The thing he said that's going to make things dangerous in these times, the first thing is that men are going to be lovers of their own selves. That it's all about them and how they feel and what they're going through. It's all about their emotions. That is one of the signs that's going to make that these last days, before Christ gets here, it's going to be dangerous for people. Because you love you and your opinion and your sensations and your emotions more than you love God. that everything you do, every choice you make is based on how you feel, if it's going to benefit you or not. For years, as we've been teaching this Bible, everybody talks about, is this wisdom? But their definition of wisdom is, if it's not comfortable for me, it's not wisdom. Because I love me more than I love anything else. If it makes me uncomfortable, that's not wisdom. If I got to go, if it's an inconvenience or it's preventing me from going for my plan or my thoughts, it's not really wisdom. It's not wisdom. It's not good. It's not proper, because it's going to have me inconvenienced from what I want to do or for how I feel. But what's the first thing? We're in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. What's the first thing it said here that's going to make these days dangerous? That men are going to be lovers of their own selves. It's all about what they're going through. Are they comfortable? Are they being? Is it a convenience for them? Is it suitable or acceptable to them and what they have going on? Or is it really about what the Most High has going on? But in these last days, men should be lovers of their own selves. Then it goes on to say covetous. I want everything. I'm not satisfied. I want more. I got to have more. But it's got to be about more for me. Not for what God wants. It's got to be about more for me. I'm covetous. Then it goes on to say boasters. What's the third thing that's going to make these last days dangerous from what God is saying? You boast about what you have. Well, I got a job, so I ain't got to worry about my unemployment getting cut off. All my stimulus checks, I saved them, so I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm good. I got the vaccine. I've got herbs. I left the country. I'm living in Jamaica. I don't move to Ethiopia. I don't move to Belize. I don't move to Guinea, to where the pandemic rates are low. So that's something I ain't got to worry about. It says in these last days, people are going to be boasters. These are what makes these last days dangerous in the eyes of the Father. Not whatever you think your definition is of bad. Have you studied to make sure is your definition matching God's definition? Is your perspective of what's good or what's bad matching God's perspective? It says boasters. Then it goes on and says proud. Can't be told nothing. It's only about your opinion. It's only about how you see things. That means when somebody's trying to show you the Most High's way, you can receive it. You're going to reject it. You're going to be pissed off, mad, and upset. And when somebody's trying to show you God's righteousness, because you're proud, you're going to be mad. You're going to feel dejected, frustrated, angry, or what have you. Proud. It goes on to say, blasphemers. I don't care what the Bible says. I've worked so hard to achieve the position I'm at. I'm not about to give up all my hard work and my dedication and what I've been working for that right there. I'm not doing that. I don't care what the Bible says. How you gonna tell me that that's right? But look at all I've achieved and accomplished doing things my way. So there's no way the Bible is right. Or your interpretation of the Bible must be wrong. Or how you bring the scriptures out, that can't be what it is. It says blasphemers. Then it says disobedient to parents. What's going to make these days dangerous? People are going to be disobedient to parents, disobedient to authority. It's all about how I see it, how I feel, what I think. So even when your parents is trying to, forget honor your father and mother, now I can cuss my parents out. I ain't go off. I can accuse my parents of not being there when I needed them. I can accuse them of not doing right by me. This is what's making things dangerous in these last days. Disobedient to parents. Then it says unthankful. No appreciation for anything that you have. Anything that you have, you're unthankful. You have this sense of you're owed something. These are the things that God is giving us. This is what makes these days dangerous. Then it goes on to say unholy. And we can definitely get into that. Unholy, another, just to make it simple, you're not good. You're not good in the eyes of the Father. You're unholy. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. We ain't trying to do that. Well, excuse me. There's too many people not trying to do that. They're still going by their definition of what good is. And not God's definition of what good is. Or what God's definition of what dangerous is. Or God's definition of what bad is. Verse 3, y'all want to read? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're in verse 3 now.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Without natural affection,
hold on 1 second. Don't tell me this. All right, cool. It's going. All right, cool. Where we at?
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Without natural affection.
It says without natural affection. To make this an easy word, you have no consideration. There is no natural affection, meaning you have no consideration. It's all about you. There is no consideration for anything or anyone around you. These are the things that God says, the Bible's telling us, instructing us in, that these type of behaviors of men is going to be prevalent in these last days. And this is how we know we're getting close to Christ getting back here. But because people are going to have these mentalities, they're going to be in danger of losing their salvation. They're going to be in danger of not being saved because they have these mindsets. They have these in particular. It says, without natural affection, again, that's consideration. You do not consider for nobody. You have no consideration. The only thing you consider is if it's convenient for you, if it's going to help you. It's going to make things easy for you. There is no natural affection. You can see this with a woman who goes to the club. You're a young woman going to the club. You have a two-year-old, a three-year-old, five-year-old. You leave at home so you can go to the club and have a good time. Because you got to live your life. Because you got to, there's living you still got to partake in. So even though you're a single mom. It's not about you having to make sacrifices to make sure your child is good. It's about you living your life. It's about you making sure you get to enjoy and live the fullest. YOLO, whatever the hell sayings people use today, it's all about you making sure you're good. So how many grandmothers and grandfathers are out here raising their grandkids as their own kids because their kids ain't about shit? You have a lot of that. How many grown-ass kids are still living at home with their parents? You have no natural affection. You have no consideration for what your parents went through to provide for you to where now you won't provide for others, your own kids even. So there's no consideration. Reading on. Truth breakers. You don't keep your word. You don't keep your word. Truth breakers, you know?
False accusers.
Then you accuse everybody else. You become the victim in everything. Somebody's telling you and bringing scripture to you about this is what God says is righteousness. But all you can come back with is how you're the victim. So now you're accusing everybody else of everything else that you're doing so that you can be the victim, so that it's okay for you to feel the way you feel, operate the way you operate, behave the way you behave because you're the victim. It's everybody else's fault. It says false accusers, read on, incontinent. The word incontinent means no self-control. Whatever comes to your mind, that's it. You're like the wind. You really go with whatever thought, whatever feeling comes your way, you ride it. You ride or die. That you have no self-control. It just, whatever comes in your mind, the sky's the limit. What's the saying? Per diem? Per diem, what does that mean? Seize the day. You have to live life to the fullest. You have no control. And then By the time we add drugs, forget about it. Or drinking, that takes away your quote-unquote inhibitions. You're liable to do, taste, eat, partake of whatever's out here. Trying to get an experience. You got to speak up, Kyle. I like that. Everybody get their own bucket list. It says incontinent, then it says what? Fierce. And then let it go your way. You really are ready to kill somebody. Let it be an inconvenience for you, and you damn near have blood in your eyes, ready to kill somebody, ready to hurt somebody, ready to hate somebody. Because they're trying to show you God's way of doing things, and you got nothing but hatred, grudges. You got straight spite in your in malice. All in your spirit, because it's inconvenient for you. It's uncomfortable for you. So now you're fierce. These are the things that God says we should be looking out for in these last days. Not the COVID, or like that's why he said the COCO. Not the I don't know what's even out here no more. Okay, the stock market crashing. Whatever. And for it not to go that way, they're going to be fierce. Reading on.
Despises of those that are good.
In the last days, what's another thing a person that we have to be, that's, what's another thing that a person should be careful of? You should despise those that are good. And again, do you even know what God's definition of good is? If someone's trying to get you right with God, not good credit, not just good on a job, not just good on a dating site, but trying to get you good with God. Do you hate them for trying to help you get right with God? It's not about scriptures. It ain't about class. It ain't about reading. And you despise it now? You avoid it now? Okay. One thing, even though people are going to try and do it, is that going to be said? Somebody was trying to get you in the book. Somebody was trying to get you right with God. But someone trying to get you right with God, they're going to be despised. They're going to be hated. Reading on. Traitors. We started one way. We was united together, but everybody started going their own way. Traitors. Read. Heady. Intellectual. It's all about your thoughts. It's all about what's in your head. It's all about how you're putting shit together. Nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with the Most High. It's your heady. It's just how you put things together in your head. The only voice you hear is your own voice. These are the things that God said we need to be looking out for in these last days as we're wondering, why do bad things happen to good people? Are you really doing good in the eyes of the Father? Reading on.
High-minded.
Again, you can't be told anything. You're going to argue, fuss, debate, do whatever you can to make it go your way. From bitch fits to man fits to whatever you want to call it, you're going to just keep going, doing it your way to prove your point. You're going to run. You're going to keep doing it until everybody around you just gives up. These are the things that God said we should be looking out for in these last days. And that, again, you love whatever pleases you more than what pleases God. That's scary. That your whole life is based on if you feel good, if it makes you feel okay, but nothing about what makes God feel good. That's scary. And that's where too many people, they lead their lives. And then the first thing they want to say when they're at the funeral is, why did Pookie die? And he's just out here living in the hood, just doing what he was doing. And, yeah, everybody's, you know, selling weed, and he did a little coke, and little fentanyl, a little this, that, whatever. Why did God have to take him? He was a good person. Why did God have to take my job? I was working on time. I did this. I argued a little bit, put him away a little bit. But, I mean, generally, I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me? Again, are you a lover of pleasure more than you love God? Again, real quick, let's hold this. Right, and I got some readers here. Give me St. John chapter 14, verse 15. Hold me, Timothy.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
So God makes this easy. If you love him, do what? You keep his commandments. This is easy. Whoever you obey, that's who you love. This is simple. So if you only obey your own mind, guess what? You love you more than you love God. That's just all it is. Whoever it is you obey, that's who you love. Read that one more time and give me a 1 John 3:16.
14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
That's easy. But the reason this is hard for a lot of people, you don't have no idea what God's commandments are. You only rule your life by what pleases you. Not about what pleases God. Not about what God says is good. And again, the question still keeps that being there in people's minds. So why do bad things happen to good people? Who the hell calls you good? Again, as I started the class, even Christ had that question. When a person came to Christ, said, "Good master, what good things should I do to enter into the kingdom?" Christ said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good. That's my Father which is in heaven." So if Christ doesn't even call himself good, who are you saying, "Man, I'm a good person. I'm good. I do this. I do that." And it's not like everybody got something going on. Everybody does a little something. But in general, I'm a fairly decent person. I'm good. According to who? And then, again, the scary thing is, because we victimize ourselves, we're the victims. I'm a good person, and I do this, I do that. Why is this bad thing happening? Why is this going on? Again, who do you obey? Christ said it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And you guys speak up.
1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
Read that one more time.
1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God.
This is the love of God. How do you know if you love God or not? Read.
Because he laid down his life for us.
Because he laid down his life for us. Now, I ain't been over this in class, not recently, but when you really understand the divinity of Christ, when you really understand that the Spirit of Christ is the Word of God, that when God spoke it, Christ was made manifest, and Christ made everything. There's nothing in heaven or earth, visible or invisible, that Jesus Christ himself didn't make. He literally is the second in control of everything. The only one greater, higher, or more authority than him is the Most High. Every single angel in heaven, good on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, Christ made. He literally, when God gave the commandment, Christ made whatever God said. That's who he is. For him to give up his life, being second in charge of heaven, to come down to earth, to be born of a woman, go through everything that we go through, allow himself to be put to death on the cross, you can't be more humble than that. But he laid down his life. He let himself get put to death. So in showing his love for us, that he didn't, it was like, this is how I do things, and this is how I maintain myself, and this is just my pattern. So I'm not going to give that up. I'm second in charge of heaven. Why would I go down there and become a servant? Why would I go down there and wash these filthy, sinning niggas' feet? Why would I do that? Why would I let them kill me? Why would I let them shed my blood? Do you know who the fuck I am? He didn't say fuck, obviously. Do you know who I am? But we walk around here like with this attitude, like you're not allowed to put me in that position because of who I am. Who are you? But again, as we're in Timothy, and we're gonna finish 1 John, it says that in these last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. It got nothing to do with God. They only do what's good or only becomes good by how they perceive it, by how they feel about it, by if it tickles their pleasure center, not is it what pleases God. So Christ laid down his life for us. Read, well, tell everybody where you're at.
16.
Where's John what?
1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for the brethren.
So if you have a way that you do things, and you got to put that down for the brothers, that's how you're showing love. It ain't talking about you commit suicide. It ain't talking about you commit Harry Carey and or go jump off a bridge or go dance in traffic. It ain't talking about that. Life here. It's talking about your manner or your way of doing things. That you give up your manner or your way of doing things for the brothers, for the people around you. That is when you're showing love. Again, but this is how God says you show love. This is how God says he can see if you really love him. This is how God can see if you really have love in your heart. Are you really a good person? Can you put down the way you do things better than everybody else? Or is it just about everybody needs to conform to you? If it's about everybody's going to conform to you because you're smarter, greater, more powerful, more popular, more whatever, so everybody needs to do it your way or just how you do things, then God is saying you have no love. You don't have his love. You love you. It's what pleases you. Reading on.
Verse 17.
Now, if you have this world's good, you're using the world's definition of good. You see somebody's got need, right?
And shut up your bowels of compassion.
But you shut up your bowels of compassion. Well, God must be trusting him, so that's on him. He needs to put this shit out. If I go over there and do whatever, then that's the main inconvenience for me. I can't keep doing my manner or my routine, what I'm doing. So go out of my way to help that. Oh, fuck that. He might need he's your Bible God. What are they going to do with me? You know what that sounds like? His problem. You know what that sounds like? Something he needs to work out. That's if you have this world's good. You're using the world's definition of good, God's definition of good. Read that again. Where we at?
1 John 3:17. Whoso hath this world good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
And that's the question, God. So how do you got God's love in you? Because now for you to go out of your way to be inconvenienced is too much. It hurts. It's just a flat out no. I'm not doing that.
18.
It says we can't love just in words. I love you. One more time. I keep missing the wording up.
1 John 3:18.
It can't be just in words and your tongue. Read.
But
in what?
But indeed.
Meaning your deed, your actions. We had to love in our actions. Read.
And in truth.
Our actions based in the truth. Which is what? The words of the Most High. The words of God. So going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we could read verse 4 again. Who was reading that?
2
2 Timothy 3:4.
Wait a minute. So again, how are we going to know we're in the last days? And what are the dangers or pitfalls that we should be looking out for to make sure that we're not in danger of throwing away our salvation? Are we becoming traitors? We made a pact that we're going to do something together. Things happen. Nope, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not with that. I got my own pattern, my own path, my own whatever I need to follow. You become a traitor. That's what's going to be happening a lot in these last days. Read.
Petty.
And according to whatever excuse you make in your mind of why it's okay, that it's about you. Read. You love pleasure or whatever pleases you more than you love God. These are the pitfalls God said we should be looking out for in these last days. Just like we know in the last days when we see these type of things happening. Everybody's looking for the dragon to come out the ocean with the 7 heads and 10 horns. Everybody's looking for some nigga with a 666 tattoo or birthmark on his forehead. Oh, that's the devil. I knew it. I saw the movie. They look for all these great things, but the little things that God said, this is what you're looking out for. I ain't looking at that at all. They're aware of every conspiracy theory out here on the planet. From Lord knows what the hell it might be. But these things here don't come across their mind at all. Reading on.
Verse 5. Having a form of godliness.
And it seems like they're spiritual. It seems like they're about the Most High. Having a form of godliness, Grant.
But denying the powers thereof.
Now, one of the things that we went through the other day in class, and I'm not sure if I put that one on Blog Talk or not. The power of the God of the Bible is what? What makes it him powerful? Patience. Hold that real quick. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. It says that in these last days, people are going to deny the power of God. What is the power of the Most High? Romans chapter 15 and verse 5.
Romans chapter 15 verse 5.
Now
the God of patience.
The God of what?
Patience.
The God of patience, read.
Like-minded.
Grant you, give us a chance to be like-minded, to be like him, read.
Be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ.
According to Jesus Christ, that we can be like-minded like God. Patience. But how many of us lack patience? And to be told to be patient? How many people throw more of a fit when they're told, wait, you gotta slow your roll. You got to slow down. You got to be patient. How many people get more fierce, more angry, more grumpy, more inconvenienced because they got to be patient and they can't get served right now? These are the pitfalls that Christ and the Bible let us know we got to be looking out for. So, again, the title of tonight's class, why do bad things, quote-unquote, happen to good people? Are you really good? Again, you're good defined by whom? Your definition of good? The world's definition of good? Or God's definition of good? What standard or what definition or what perspective are you really using? And this is what we're getting into tonight. From there, let's go to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We let everything else go.
Chapter 4,
destroy
for a lack of knowledge.
And then what is that God's people destroyed for?
Lack of knowledge.
Not knowledge how to please themselves. That's obvious. Not knowledge of what makes them happy. But what is it that God's people destroyed for? A lack of knowledge. We really don't know God. So we go around and we say, well, this is a good person. He's a good person. She's a good person. According to who? According to whose knowledge this person is good? According to whose knowledge is this person bad? Whose knowledge are you using when you say, I'm a good person, they're a good person, that's a good person? or that's a bad person. Are they a bad person because they went against your pleasure? Are they a bad person because they got in the way of your goal? So that's what makes them bad. Even though we just read in the last days that people are going to be despised of those that are good. There are going to be more people despising those that are actually trying to do good in the eyes of the Father that are going to be hated for it, that are going to be disliked, that are going to be rejected. So when we talk about who's a good person, are we really using God's standard of what good is? Or are you going by some, again, what makes a person good? And is it God's standard of what makes a person good? Then now, a good person is going through bad things. Are you really good? So it says, so Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6 says what?
Lack of knowledge.
So do you really have God's knowledge of what God calls good, what God calls bad? Where is your knowledge coming from? What is your foundation based on? Read. And then it tells you that when it comes to God's knowledge, people reject God's knowledge. Why? Because they get their own goals, their own plans, their own thoughts. So when somebody's trying to show them the good way of what makes God happy, people reject that. I'm not trying to hear that. I ain't trying to be around that. Forget that. And it says that's going to be a lot of people's mindset. The majority of people's mindsets in the last days is that people ain't trying to, they're lovers of pleasures more than they're lovers of God. I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't got time for that. Because I've got my idea of what good is. And then, again, we wonder why bad things happen to, quote-unquote, good people. First off, God says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Then we reject his knowledge. Oh, I need that scripture. Give me 1 second, y'all. Give me 1 second. Somebody doing, if I just give a little recap of what y'all are picking up so far while I find this other scripture?
The worldly mind, everything's going to start getting harder. Everything's going to start getting harder, but nobody's going to come back.
Too many different standards because, like Moses says, everyone's petty and high-minded.
No one can be told whether they're wrong. If they pick a path, they think this must be the right path.
Right.
So they must think that they're correct and good because I'm following my path. And either I'm being rewarded, or my uncle said, people think, why do bad things happen to good people? Because I'm following the path, and I think good things have happened to me before, gain, 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 but now, oh, I lost my job. How? I've done everything right. We went to Octave's house today and watched a video about this woman who penny pinching. She cooked a lasagna in the dishwasher. Her family can only have 2-minute showers, and she rips food off that she doesn't eat so that she can save on pounds and stuff because she has a life plan. And this plan will, when they get older, take care of them. They can retire, do all this. The husband's like, work a good job. I work a good job, she works a good job. But she has a plan. She has a plan.